Hey there, freaks. It's your boy Marty here to introduce this week's episode of Tales from the Crypt. It's brought to you by who other than the Cash App. The Cash App, they've been the number one finance app in the App Store for the last 2 years. The first P2P finance app, payments app to allow its users to buy Bitcoin. Then they let their users withdraw Bitcoin to a wallet of their choice. And hey, the last few weeks they've rolled out deposits onto the app. So now if you want to send Bitcoin to the Cash App, you can produce an address and send Bitcoin to your Cash App. Sell it if you need to. Hopefully you don't. Or send it to somebody else. On top of that, they have their Boost program. We've been talking about it for a while. I use it every day. You get a Boost card. You put your signature on it. You go to the merchants they're partnered with, whether it be Taco Bell, Chick-fil-A, Whole Foods, local coffee shops, DoorDash. The list goes on. You use the cash. You put your Boost on. You use the cash card when you go to that merchant, and you save some money, and you can stack sats with that. So go to the App Store today and download the Cash App using the promo code STACKINGSATS. We got a promo code, freaks. And if you haven't downloaded it yet and you download it for the first time using this promo code, STACKINGSATS, you're going to get $5. And $5 will also go to a charity of our choice. We've got it down to 3 or 4 right now. And we're going to decide within the week, but if you download it now, that money will still go to the charity. Let's raise some money for some good causes here, freaks. Download the Cash App today. Promo code STACKINGSATS. Enjoy this episode with Alex from Amber. We had an incredible time. Alex Svetsky is his last name. We had an incredible time. Matt and I recorded this at the Bitcoin 2019 conference. Alex is a hell of a character. We just had a fun time shooting the shit about Bitcoin and the hell that is blockchain consulting and blockchain, not Bitcoin world. Enjoy. Tales from the Crypt. What is up, freaks? Welcome back to Tales from the Crypt. It's your boy Marty Bent here at the Bitcoin 2019 conference in a podcasting studio, joined by Matt O'Dell.
Fuck yeah, let's go.
Let's go. Big day here. Also joined by Alexander Svetsky, from the CEO of Amber, a hairless chimp who's interested in philosophy, history, economics, and Bitcoin. He also writes about Bitcoin, too.
I was going to be like, this guy's fucking teasing the fact that I'm balding.
Oh, I'm balding as well. Okay, as a fellow man who's balding. I have sympathy. Okay. One day,
you know the pain, right, bro? Like it's depressing, man.
I know the pain. But one day, I'm already mentally preparing for the day that I'm going to bick my head and just grow a beard. I'm going to be a beard man.
It's way better to be bald than a no-coiner.
It's true.
Sold.
Yeah, all right, that just made me feel better.
Yeah, speaking of no-coiners, they got to be angry this week with the price rise.
Wait, I put up a tweet just a little bit earlier saying... I was like, alt season's already here. It's it's just a fucking dark, cold, lonely, depressing place. Because, I mean, fuck.
Yeah, they thought it was going to be spring, but it's just winter.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah, winter is coming and winter ain't going. Fucking.
That's what I'm interested in. Like, we talked about this last week on the pod, the last rabbit hole recap. Like, I don't know. I don't think...
Altcoin Death Watch?
I think Altcoin Death Watch is on right now. I'm not sure. I don't want to call it. I don't want to be called too early. But
I feel like we think this every cycle.
We do think cycle. But you look at, there's a lot of people focusing on the U.S. dollar value of the altcoins. But if you look at like the Bitcoin charts, it's not looking good.
It's a disaster, man. Well, everything's trending towards zero, which is, I mean, the only direction they're going to go. But yeah, I don't know. Something feels funny. So I don't know. I wasn't around in the Bitcoin space in 2013 or 2014. So everyone that I seem to talk to here today or yesterday is like, this event feels like the events from back then. And just the air seems different, like, because, you know, I sort of got in around 2016 and in 2016 it was just the level of stupidity was so much higher. Like, it just doesn't, I don't know.
I think the big difference between this cycle and last one is last cycle Ethereum hadn't happened yet. Ethereum was the first time that anyone tried to say that an alt was going to like flip in Bitcoin. Before that, it was there's just going to be thousands of coins and they're like live along Bitcoin.
There's people that think the flipping is still going to happen
Within
a year.
I think that's I think now that it's like it's kind of proven that you like take a run for the king, you're not gonna be able to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe
we'll see. Who knows? ETH 2.0. Apparently, they figured out scaling Shard and POS is the way. We'll see. This is a good segue. You're talking about earlier. You got in 2016. What drew you to Bitcoin?
What drew me to Bitcoin? It was actually fuck. I don't know if I should say this, but I'm gonna say it. Fuck it. I had a friend of mine who was he had some interesting addictions, and he was sort of talking about how him and his dumb friends were making like buying this Bitcoin stuff, and I'd heard about it in the past, right? And I was one of those classic back in the days of Gerald Celente, and I don't know if do you remember him?
Gerald Celente? No, yeah. Who's that?
Okay, this was sort of when Max Kaiser and all the guys became really big. Like, mm-hmm. This was sort of 2010, 2011. So that's sort of when I got into the whole Austrian economics and everything, and I went down that rabbit hole. And I bought a shitload of silver and gold in 2010, 11, and I rode that bull market all the way up. And then I dumped all my bags of silver at, like, $49 and shorted that bitch all the way down. So I killed it during that period. And
So were you a trader before you got into Bitcoin? Or?
So I mean, I've been trading since probably 2007, but I hate fucking trading, so I avoid it now. So if I look at all of the time that I've spent trading throughout my life, I could have worked at fucking McDonald's and had, you know, alpha on my trading because it's a fucking degenerate addiction. Like, and especially in a marketplace like Bitcoin. So like the first thing I did, my first foray into trading was I got a scholarship into uni, and I picked the university. So we've down the east coast of Australia, you've got about south of Sydney, you've got this place called Wollongong, which is, it's a beautiful beach area. It's gorgeous. And, you know, That was the university giving the lowest scholarship, but it had the most chicks and it had a beach. So I was like, fuck it, this sounds good.
Boss.
Yeah, right? So I
went
down. Solid
priorities.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking about my future. So I went down there and I felt like, that this was very humble of me. I felt like everyone was a dumb motherfucker. So I was like, I'm going to put my scholarship money on the market. And I taught myself to trade derivatives, options, warrants, and all this sort of stuff. And this is sort of... early 2007, late 2006, early 2007. So I rode up. I turned like less than $5,000 into like 60 inside 6 months, and I thought I was king shit.
You're a
genius.
Bought
a motorbike. I was the man. And walking around to all my friends, I was like, "Fucking, I'm gonna be a millionaire by the time I'm 20." And I was like, and I still remember the day, August the 16th, 2007. It was like a week before my birthday. I levered the fuck up on all of these trades, and I was like, "I'm gonna make $250,000. You know, I'm gonna be sweet by next week." And I woke up that morning on August the 16th, and it was like a major trade. And I can't remember if it was Lehman Brothers or whoever
sounds,
the fuck it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, sounds
then.
Around like Bear Stearns or Lehman.
It was around that time, yeah. Exactly. And then like the entire market was red. And at that point I had this like, it was still the computer screens, you know, the big white computers, like the fucking, before the flat screens, whatever they were called, the big fat monitors. I had one of those, yeah.
Like a desktop monitor.
Yeah, yeah, like one of those classic old computers. And I turned it on and I was like, fucking the whole screen's red. And I'm like, what's wrong with this thing? I just couldn't fathom what the fuck is going on. And I looked at my account and I'm like, I was down 80% in one day. And I was like in this state of shock. And I walked around and I kicked the hole in my kitchen. I was like, fuck, no, I need to pay for that. And that was like my first.
That's classic. To kick the hole in the wall.
Yeah.
And that never solves the problem.
Well, I thought it would until I kicked the hole in the wall. And then, So that was my first spanking. And then from there, I thought, I know how to fix this. So I borrowed more money. And about 4 months later, I was $250,000 in debt.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to be a millionaire by the time I'm 20. And I turned 20, I was $250,000 in debt. So I was like...
I went the wrong way. So you obviously learned some lessons there.
Yeah, man. Well, I had to drop out of uni, so I had to pay the banks like about $1,500 a week before I could even eat. So my life turned into, I moved into this dude's flat, and I lived on his lounge room on the fucking floor, like this piece of shit mattress on the floor. And my day consisted of, I'd knock on doors selling pay television. I didn't even know what the fuck was on the TV. I had no idea what was on the channels, but it was the only thing I could get on short notice. So I'd sell pay TV all day, and I would read about markets, economics, and all that sort of shit at night. And that was literally my life for the next 6 months. And I actually became probably the third best salesperson for pay television in the country. And again, I had no idea what the fuck was on TV.
Boss.
And I just learned how to communicate. That was my thing. So, and it's funny. Necessity is like the mother of it's the mother of invention. It's the mother of skill. It's the mother of drive. It's all of that sort of shit. And that's sort of what took me. That was like my foray into, you know, trading and markets and economics and all of that. And I mean, I had, you know, that period allowed me to then be successful during the, you know, the gold and silver boom, you know, so I did make money during that period. And then there's been periods in where I've come back into the market and I've traded for a period of time and I've just like fucking burnt a bunch of money. And then I come back and I'm like, fucking hate this shit. I'm never coming back to it again. 2 years later, the fucking gambling addiction comes back and I just start trading my way up again. I guess this was a long version of the story of, what I've learned over the last, what's it been now?
Decade almost?
Yeah, it's 12
years.
Decade. Yeah, fuck, 12 years of messing around with markets, that it's a zero-sum game at the end of it. Like, unless you dedicate your life to trading and that's what you're going to fucking do, don't bother. And this is why, you know, why I'm doing what I'm doing today with Amber, is I want to get people the fuck away from trading, particularly when it comes to, because I've traded derivatives all my life. I've never touched stocks. Like, I've just traded derivatives. So Bitcoin came really natural to me because I was like, oh, 30% a day, that's normal. So I was like, it was a good fit for me in that sense. But yeah, like I just think trading is madness.
Yeah. So let's jump into Amber. Like, when did you start it? Let's talk about the mechanics of how it works and sort of your ethos and mission behind it.
Cool, man. So getting into Bitcoin in 2016, I'd stepped down from being a CEO in a previous business that I was in, and that was building some recruitment automation software. So during part of my journey throughout life, I did a real deep dive on psychology, on people, on behavioral science and all this sort of stuff, and trying to understand what makes people tick. And we'd built this recruitment automation software which would place people in roles based on who they are, not just what they do. And anyway, I had a dispute with the board on that business, and we sort of... I stepped down and those dumb motherfuckers ran the company into the ground and shut it down after 5 months after I left. So I was like, well, there goes 2 years of my life. So what the fuck am I going to do now? And it was around that time when that friend was talking about Bitcoin again. I'm like, fuck, is this thing still around? Because I'd heard about it in the gold days, right? And I was like, haha, internet funny money. I'll stick with my gold. Dumbass. Chuck the Peter Schiff.
I feel like that happens a lot. You know, you hear about it once, and then when you hear about it the second time, you're like, oh, fuck.
It's still around.
Is it still here? Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the thought that I had. And I started going down the rabbit hole a little bit, right? And I must credit Andreas Antonopoulos, was sort of like watching a couple of his talks. And I think a lot of people have that similar story. You know, they heard him. Yeah.
In 2013, I would just watch his videos, and then I'd close my eyes and market buy. That was like basically my strategy.
Titanic. Fucking faith. Well, dude, it was... yeah, so a lot of credit to that guy. He, you know, what he was saying just made so much sense to me, and it just aligned with so many values and principles that I'd sort of built up over the years. Because, you know, the experience that I had in the markets, the Austria economics sort of deep dive that I did in 2011 and stuff. Then I got also like I built another business after that period. So after I dug myself out of that initial debt, I built this company in sort of renewable energy, and then I got. The government fucked up some shit when they were giving out rebates and stuff. So I lost it. The government owed me about $2 million.
Shit.
Yeah. And so that was a real sort of wake up call of government mismanagement of money. So I had all these really interesting pillars along the way.
Did you get that $2 million back?
No, none of us did. Yeah. We all just basically had to like eat the loss because they mismanaged how they were paying out the rebates to everyone for the systems people were installing. So when I went down that rabbit hole in 2016, I was like, fuck, this makes so many sense. I love the game theory. I love the math, the probability, the this, the that, and, you know, all the reasons why we're here, right? And, yeah, I just went on this path you know, evangelizing and telling everyone to buy Bitcoin. And the particularly in Australia, the most common thing I heard was, it's too hard, it's too risky, I don't know what to do, the fuck's a wallet, why should I sign up on an exchange, why do I need to hold up my license next to my face and take a photo of myself, blah, 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 all this sort of shit. Now, what's Ethereum, what's this, what's that? And yeah, man, I was like, I got to do something about this. And I had heard about Acorns in the past, so that was a bit of an inspiration for the product. And I was like, why isn't somebody doing this?
And they were an American company, right?
Yeah, they're an American company. Yeah, yeah. And I looked into what it would take to do it. And it wasn't easy. Like the ability to connect to somebody's bank account. So the original vision for Amber was to round up spare change into Bitcoin. So as people are spending, you know, they're sort of stacking sats in the background.
You spend like 95 cents and then 5 cents goes into Bitcoin.
Correct. Exactly right. And that was sort of the vision, the premise, the idea that I wanted to make this as easy as download the app, link your bank account, and forget about it. When was that? I think that was around probably mid 2017 when I decided that's what I'm going to do.
So shit was going crazy.
Shit was going crazy, exactly. And everyone around me was like, oh, fuck, that's such a cool idea. You're going to do an ICO? And I'm like, fuck no. But before I said fuck no, though, I actually considered it. So was I telling you this the other day? I think I was telling Matt.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, yeah. So I went away. I was like, all right, this ICO shit sounds like too good to be true. I was like, people are just selling stuff. And like, I sort of looked into the mechanics like from afar, and I was like, fuck, they're selling tokens. They're not selling any equity. So they're keeping all the money, and they're keeping the tokens a portion of the tokens that they're issuing. So they're getting some money for that, and they're keeping the company. I was like, it's a fucking no-brainer. I'm going to do this shit. So anyway, I was almost an ICO guy. So I printed out 20 white papers, and I said, all right, I'm going to print out a white paper from everyone who's raised from 1 million, 5 million, 10 million, 20 million, 50 million, up to 100 million. And I went away for a weekend in Byron Bay, and I read this shit. And I swear to God, by the time I finished reading that stuff, like, I barely could get, like, the last fucking 10 was so painful. I walked out of there feeling like about 20 IQ points dumber. I was like, I have just lost some brain cells, man. This is the dumbest shit I've ever read. I walked out of there thinking, I ain't fucking doing this. This is like a train wreck waiting to happen. Like when we had to raise money for iRecruit, the prior business, the shit and the hoops we had to jump through, and the due diligence, and the level of granularity we had to go through, and the level of sense we needed to make to an investor. Like, just to raise $1 million, these fuckers were raising $50 million off some fucking pipe dream.
On a fucking parallax static site, basically.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And I was like, fuck's going on here, man? I was like, man, I can't do this shit. Like, I want to be in this industry for a long time. Like, and for me, like, I don't know if you guys have seen that Jeff Bezos video where he talks about the analogy between the internet and electricity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think I've seen that one.
Commencement speech?
No. I'll send
really
it to you guys.
Good commencement speech.
Yeah, he does a really good commencement speech. But this one, like, I first watched this in 2017, and he does this talk at a TEDx, right? In the really early days of TED, and this is still when he's like bald and scrawny and shit, right? When people thought he was a fucking joker, and it's right after the .com bubble. You could almost replace the word internet with the word Bitcoin during that talk, and it would have sounded like he was doing it in 2018. Like, it literally...
There's an Apple keynote that's very similar to that, too. If you just replace Apple with Bitcoin, and it was, like, right after the .com
Yeah, correct.
Bubble.
Yeah, so I remember watching that, and I was like, man, this guy stuck to his guns, stuck to what they were doing, and Amazon evolved into something so much more than a fucking bookstore, right? Because at that time, they could only fathom a bookstore. I mean, here we are today in 2019, whatever year we're in, right? We can only fathom with Bitcoin, like, exchanges, wallets, lightning payments.
You want to put a bookstore on the internet? What, are you a fucking idiot?
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, it's like these days, oh, you wanted to do payments. We've already got payments. What, are you a fucking idiot? Like, yeah. You know, and that's sort of how we get viewed in Australia, right? Australia's big for fintech, but you say Bitcoin, it's like, oh, that's not fintech, that's gambling.
Well, that's the funny thing about fintech. Fintech's like some buzzword where there's not really any new fintech. Bitcoin is new fintech. The other fintech is buzzwords that are basically UX built
on traditional. It's lipstick on a fucking pig.
Right?
That's what I call it. It's literally, they've taken the old shit, they've taken that crap, and they've just like whacked a new UI on it, and they're like, oh, we're a neobank. No, you're fucking not. Like,
right.
Revolut, I don't know if you got. Do you guys have Revolut here?
I know about Revolut, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But it's not here yet. It's not in America.
Revolut just launched in Australia. But get this. They're using, like, one of our big banks down there is called ANZ, which is kind of like equivalent to, I don't know, call it Bank of America here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Revolut is just the ANZ bank account in a Revolut app.
It's
neo-banking.
Yeah, new banking.
Well, welcome to the future.
Right? New fintech, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
But I mean, ICOs are like the ultimate high time preference, right? Like, you could make a shit ton doing your ICO, but ultimately... You
burn your reputation.
Not only your reputation, but you end up in like a legal fucking quagmire.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing that, for me in particular, coming from the fund space, and I worked for a fund of funds, so most of my job was due diligence on the funds that we would index, and just having that experience of the thoroughness of due diligence we needed just to invest in a fund and then seeing what the ICOs are doing, I was like, this doesn't make any sense. These guys are going to get fucked.
The due diligence was a paper written over a weekend, and there was nothing to do diligence on, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You sit down to do due diligence, and it's like, all right, 10 pages, white paper, fucking... What else is there? Oh, we don't have anything else.
Oh, we've got...
We're decentralized.
We've got an engineer who used to work at Amex.
Yeah, that's it, right?
The network's launching in 10 months. It's going to be revolutionary.
It's AI-powered.
Well, that's the discussion we had last week. Do you think we have, like, another alt run like we did? Do you think the markets learn from the ICO boom?
I don't think we have another ICO boom. I'm still... I don't know, man. Like... me and Murad had a really good chat about this, and he was like, there's definitely going to be another couple alt runs, and traditionally I've agreed with him, but like, I mean, just watching this shit this last couple weeks, or this last month or two, like, where are we at now?
We dropped to 11.8.
11.8. Fuck.
We're going to zero.
Yeah.
Bitcoin's dead.
Fucking. All right, guys, we got to go. I'm doing an ICO.
One of my favorite memes of the bear market is when you turn to a fellow Bitcoiner and it's like a little bit quiet, and you turn to him and you go, what if we were wrong?
Yeah.
I ask myself that every fucking day.
But
talking about like alt cycles, I don't know if they come back as viciously if they had in the past. Maybe I'm naive, but again, like, a lot of people, we had this conversation in the group chat, Matt and I did, like, earlier this morning about, like, people were bringing up the Google search trends for Bitcoin and buy Bitcoin.
Yep.
And they, like, with this price run, like, if you're just looking at Google searches, it doesn't look like any retail's coming. But then it's like, Bitcoin's probably, like, already on the top of people's minds. Like, it's already, it has the brand associated with it.
Yep.
And those metrics may not be as important going forward. But then you look at, like, China and their Google, Baidu. The searches for Bitcoin have been going like up the root through the roof.
I kind of feel like we're at like the position with Bitcoin now where we have enough determined accumulators and, you know, holders who want to accumulate as much Bitcoin as possible, and combined with the fact that the block reward keeps going lower, that we're like kind of at the point where I feel like we can just incestually pump
ourselves.
But obviously new retail will come in as well, and that will accelerate it. But even without the new retail, if we got like not a single another Bitcoiner, just the 30 million of us could probably pump this thing, you know? That's kind of where we are now. We haven't really seen new retail come in. So it makes sense to me that, of course, Bitcoin is going to get the majority of this money, because these are mostly educated people that are more experienced in the space. When that new retail comes in, that's the real question.
Yeah.
And like my biggest counter to alts being completely dead is like, just look at the Ripple volume numbers on Coinbase, and they keep going up, right?
Yeah.
So
do they keep going up?
Yeah.
That's why we stack sats on Cash App.
The number one Ripple exchange now is Coinbase. And like they added it, what, like 2 months ago or something?
I think in the beginning of the year, yeah.
But still, right? Yeah. Like, so as long as Coinbase continues to be like that token casino, it should be, I don't know. But I would love if alts are dead, but...
No, I would too. I think it could be wishful thinking.
Yeah, I think it is. I err on the side of wishful thinking as well. Yeah. I just wonder where it's... I just don't think it's going to come back at the same fervor as the ICOs, because you could go from 0 to 1,000,000,000% return on investment in 6 days.
Yeah.
You know, from a fucking ICO pump.
And I think there may be too many people banking on that type of those type of returns in another cycle, and they may
and it is probably harder these days as well, because you know there's been a bunch that have been delisted, and you know it's not as easy to get on all of, like, there's not as many shitcoin exchanges as well, like most of them have gone bust. Like I think a lot of those big pumps as well happen on things like Cryptopia. I don't know if you guys ever
and like Binance,
who's
now like kicking out Americans, forcing KYC.
Yeah.
And
RIP Cryptopia.
Who?
Cryptopia.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
they were New Zealand based,
yeah, they
right?
were New Zealand based. Are they actually gone now?
They got hacked. They got hacked. I know they got hacked. I thought they had to shut down.
They got hacked, declared bankruptcy, reported it to the New Zealand authorities, and like the police don't even know how to send emails, right?
So yeah.
It's just a clusterfuck.
Yeah, Cryptopia was one of those weird exchanges where you could buy things like KeCoin and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, dude, you could buy anything on there. Dude, I remember being at a I got asked to get up on a panel, and the dude next to me was this crypto trader who, like, you know, was famous in Australia, and he's sitting there shilling everyone, saying, look, you know, what you want to do is you want to buy some Bitcoin, then you want to put it on Cryptopia, and you want to trade this, then you want to set up... He had all these, like, fucking weird masternodes of shit that you'd... like, fucking fence coin, or, you know, like, sidewalk coin, or whatever, and he's, like, running all these masternodes. He's like, this is how I'm going to set myself up. I'm looking at this guy, I'm like...
Dumb motherfucker.
Yeah, I was like...
Yeah, I remember, like, during the craze, like, specifically masternodes. Oh, I need some passive income.
Yeah, that's right, bro. Okay. How's your passive income going down? It's like they've made their 100% passive income, but they lost 99% of it on the way down.
How much were people paying for Dash masternodes at the height?
Well,
peak?
It was 1,500 was the top for Dash, and you need 1,000, right? So what is that, 1.5 million?
Yeah, ridiculous.
Dude.
Passive income, bro.
Bro, I had a bunch of the Dash guys come and hit us up, like, to list Dash on Amber. So when we were building Amber, like, I had EOS come after me, Dash, Ethereum, all these guys being like, oh, you know, we want to fiat on-ramp direct to the consumer, bypass having people to go through Bitcoin to get to us and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, like, oh, you know, these Dash masternode guys walking around like they're king shit, right? Like, oh, yeah, you know, I hold 10 Dash masternodes and all this sort of stuff. I'm like, fucking, that's a lot of money. Thinking in my head, I was like, holy crap. And then when the bear market started to come in, you know, these guys just all disappeared. Like, just gone. You know, the fucking ballers one day and just back to KFC the next.
Well, that's why I think it's a good example of why you got to think long term in this game. And a lot of these shitcoin marketing schemes are ephemeral and just quick bursts.
Dude, I was saying it to someone yesterday. I was like, it's funny that I think a lot of the reason why we're seeing Bitcoin, you know, such comparative strength in Bitcoin at the moment in the market is just the fervency and the, call it loyalty, call it, you know, belief around Bitcoin. It just... people give a shit and believe about Bitcoin, and the people in the Bitcoin ecosystem give a shit about it. In everything else, they were just there for the fucking money and for the quick buck. And as soon as that wasn't there, they're all fucking gone.
There's,
like,
no loyalty.
Exactly. It's all like, they're ghost towns. They're
even, like, the Ethereum crew, I feel like they're all just ready for the next best thing.
Yeah, well, they're all ready to fucking partner with Libra now, aren't they?
Right.
It's going to be fucking Vitalik and Zuck in bed together.
Some of them are.
Libra the standard.
There's some toxicity leaking from the Ethereum community right now. I'm very worried.
There's another fork coming, man. It's going to be Ethereum 2.0, Ethereum Classic, and Ethereum Libra, the standard. That's going to be the new one. But we're the only guys who haven't left, right? Like, everything else is a ghost town. We're still here, and that's why fucking Bitcoin's pumping.
Yeah.
Nobody else is here. But on that logic, that probably does mean that we will probably see another altcoin pump, because they haven't pumped just because no one's here.
Yeah.
You know,
as soon as those green candles start coming back, people are going to be like, all right, there's some money to be made.
But the important thing is they can't buy it through Amber.
Correct. Mm-hmm. This is true. So back to the story of Amber.
Just a little tangent there.
Yeah, just a touch. So we didn't do an ICO. And we went ahead and it was actually the original name of Amber. So I haven't said this on any podcast. It was actually originally going to be called Stash. That was the original name, and that's what we're going forward with. And the idea was to, you know, stash your cash and you know, move small amounts. But then we're going to have a trademark issue. I think there's a Stash here in the US.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. There is a Stash out
here. Definitely a Stash wallet even, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So one of the guys, you know, who's a friend of mine, and he's sort of been in fintech for a while, he's like, dude, you don't want to have a trademark battle, particularly with a company that's just raised $130 million and that has a trademark in the US, Canada, Europe, and everything. I was like, fuck those guys. We're doing Bitcoin. I'm going to take them out. And then basically everyone ganged up on me. They're like, motherfucker, we're not using Stash. Otherwise, we're all leaving. And I was like, fuck. Okay. But and then we went through this whole process of like trying to select a name. And dude, we went through, I think, about 1,200 names. Like, because when you, these days, like, every dickhead is sitting on a .com. I don't care what it is, even if it's just
you're
like
looking at one of the biggest dickheads right here.
Yeah, I have so many.
One of those assholes. So we just were like, what has a domain that we can actually get? What are the trademarks around the world? What has some meaning? You know, all this sort of shit. Like, what's actually available? Went through all these names. We ended up on four names. It was Dorado, which is sort of like
gold, right.
Yeah, City of Gold. We had sort of, so one of the other themes we were exploring was this idea of exploring new frontiers. So we had Rover and, you know, kind of like Mars Rover and, you know, new things. We had Amber, which, you know, that sort of came up as like an early form of money. It's still, you know,
it builds up slowly and accumulates.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah. It's something that layers,
strengthens over time.
Correct. And then the fourth one was, just salmon. Like the
salmon?
Fish. And that has no fucking meaning, you know? People are like, well, is it because salmon swim upstream? I'm like, well, salmon swim upstream to die. So I was like, that wasn't the meaning. But we, you know, that was just like, it came out of one of the guys was like saying stupid names. I'll slap you with a fucking fish. And I was like, I'll slap you with
salmon.
I kind
of like salmon.
So it was maybe the
Bitcoiners,
second pick.
That's what Bitcoiners are. We're just swimming upstream.
That's
like
what
it.
We're doing. But we're not going to die. That's not what we're here to do. So... Yeah, we obviously settled on the most sensible one, Amber, and we picked that. We went through the whole process, and we went ahead to build this thing. And like I said, the first iteration was this spare change roundup app to put your spare change into Bitcoin and slowly accumulate. And in the early days, like we had a lot of people in the initial testing that wanted us to help them accumulate Bitcoin, and they actually wanted Ethereum. So I'm gonna raise my hand here and say that I was almost going to list Ethereum in the early days. It was on the original banner that we had. We had, and our original branding was actually orange.
Okay, get out of the fucking studio.
Sorry, man.
This interview's over.
Ending,
it's been a great time.
All right. But as things progressed, I just went further and further down, you know, the thing, and I was like, man, it was grinding my gears. Like, I was already a Bitcoiner, I was already shit talking Ethereum, but people were like, oh, you know, we need to let people swap between it because that's what the market wants. And I was like, you know what, fuck what the market wants, I'm gonna give them Bitcoin, and if they want something else, they can go to shitcoin over there. And
yeah, they can go take their Bitcoin from Amber and go to Cryptopia, and
they can go and fucking do whatever they want, and they can set up masternodes, they can do whatever the fuck they want, right? So we became probably what I'd almost say is like Bitcoin's Australia's one of Australia's only Bitcoin only companies, and sort of we stood for that, and we had some challenges building the banking integration. So one of the things you need to do with the spare change app is you need to have people connect their bank account, and in doing so, and I think it's probably similar here in Australia. In America, you need to log in with your bank. So
yep.
Give you yep. So
you need to see every transaction.
Correct. And fundamentally, I think that was kind of incompatible with most Bitcoiners and stuff like that. Like, fucking, I don't want to log in with my bank account. So we had a fair bit of a drop off of people. So we had a bunch of signups, but people were like, I don't want to link my bank account. You know, can you just do recurring? So, you know, we've sort of re-engineered the product over the last few months and just really optimized it more so for if people want to do the spare change stuff, go ahead, you can. Mm-hmm. But we've re-optimized it for really just the focus on, you know, stealing your hashtag.
Stacking sats.
That's it. Thank you, sir.
There we go.
I'm going to like, do you know what I'm going to do? Can I get a recording of that so when people land on the Amber website, it just says you two guys come up and...
You're stacking sats.
That's it.
With Amber.
Stack sats today with Amber.
That's it. Fucking, that's perfect.
There you go.
Download Amber. Stack sats.
I really like your stacking sats explainer on Amber too.
Thank you.
On the website.
Thank you.
Very good.
It was, the whole team was asking me, they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? And it, like,
it's an American thing.
Yeah,
you wouldn't understand.
I was like, these two dudes in America. I was like, they came up with it. So they're like,
I can't
no one's
going to
understand
credit.
This shit.
It was all this guy.
Was it?
And he started the hashtag.
I mean, I was talking to someone about it yesterday, And you know how the Bitcoin space is so incestuous. Like, I must have heard it from somewhere.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I started it on Twitter and, you know, popularized
it. Yeah. I didn't say it right either.
There you go. Made it popular. Shilled the shit out of it. And it's fucking beautiful. I mean, during the 2017 run, I was trying to get everyone to dollar cost average. Mm-hmm. I would do, there'd be like a 10-point thread on Twitter about why dollar cost averaging is like the responsible thing to do. And it would get no engagement. No one wanted to hear fuck all about it.
Now you're a fucking celebrity.
Yeah, you tell them stacking sats and they're like, I'm fucking down. Let's fucking stack this shit. Yep.
I love that shit. So yeah, so we put it on the website and now the whole business is optimized around that. Stack sats, make it easy. The idea is to get to get a noob from hearing about Bitcoin to actually stacking sats. I want to make that as short as 1 minute. So we're not that short yet. It takes a little bit of time to like sort of get the shit sorted out. We're probably at about 2 or 3 minutes now. Mm-hmm. But if you're in Australia, you can basically set up in close to a minute and be dollar cost averaging without even thinking about it in the background and accumulating Bitcoin.
So how does it work with not linking your bank account?
So we've just got a straight direct debit. For people who don't want to link their bank account for the spare change, they just set up a direct debit.
Okay.
It's a bit clunkier, and it means they need to. There's a few days delay for the clearance of the funds at the moment. So we've got a little workaround that we're going to be introducing over the next month or two, so that when the direct debit does happen, we can instantly purchase the Bitcoin on their behalf. But at the moment, we've got to wait for the fucking funds to clear. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but again, when you're dollar cost averaging, it doesn't matter, right? Because you're not trying to pick the fucking spot price.
Especially if it's recurring.
Exactly.
If it's recurring.
Yeah, that's the whole point. So yeah, man. So that's where we're at. And really, like, I wrote an article, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but about a couple months ago where I said where Amber is a Bitcoin business, not a crypto company.
Mm-hmm.
I smashed a bunch of points in there about, first, this myth about diversification in crypto. It doesn't exist. Like, diversification in crypto is you cannot diversify with a basket of correlated assets.
Right.
And, I mean, whilst...
Right now, they're not correlated.
Right now, they're not correlated. If you diversified right now, you'd feel like a real fucking idiot. But yeah, traditionally,
well,
like,
Crypto Man Rand told everyone to do 70 to 90 different assets at the top of the market.
And that really did well. Fucking hell.
That dude's running around here.
I was impressed. He didn't delete it, so I stamped it today.
Boss.
Did you?
I woke up this morning. I was like, wait, did he delete that tweet? And he didn't.
Let's put it up again next year.
What are you thinking about in your sleep? You're just waking up like... Tweet Sam. He tweeted.
I was stewing because our boy Brendan did an interview with him yesterday.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So Brendan, which Brendan?
Brendan Bernstein. He had that bull juice presentation yesterday.
I missed it.
I was on like all the macro trends and how Bitcoin is just gonna go to the moon.
Yeah, it was a live Brendan's fire threads on stage.
There you go.
Getting more bullish, huh?
Yeah.
But then he went on fucking Rand's show, so now he's dead to us.
Okay. Yeah. R.I.P. Rip in peace, Brendan. But what I want to shift to right now is it seems like you have an inspiring story because you have never settled for something like job-wise, career-wise until you found what seems to be your passion in Bitcoin.
Yep.
And I feel like that's a big theme on this podcast is a lot of people. That's actually not a big theme on this podcast, but it's something I think about and write about a lot. It's like a lot of people have this existential dread. They're working 9 to 5s. They have the American dream career layout. Idea of how they should go about their life,
yep.
And a lot of people are becoming unhappy with they get a job, they wake up 15 later, it's like, what the fuck have I been doing with my life?
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
seem like somebody who's never settled. So, what's your sort of mentality, or what has your mentality been, or what sort of drives the decisions to be like, all right, I don't fucking like this anymore, I'm getting out.
Yeah. Good question, man. I don't know. My dad was like, I got daddy issues now. my dad was like a. Do you guys have the term like WOG here?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. So it's kind of like it's a term in Australia. So it's if your parents came off the boat, particularly in Europe, sort of like in the '60s and seventies, like they were WOGs. They were sort of like I can't remember what the fuck it stands for, but it's kind of like have you ever seen like My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's sort of. That's the definition of WOGs, you know, like sort of Europeans who come to like a Western country and do weird shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was my dad, right? And he was really tough on me and my brother. Like, you know, his nickname for me and my brother was Scum and Dirt.
Jesus.
he was a motherfucker, bro, I swear to God. And so he instilled in us this idea of, like, you can never be a number. You have to do something with your life. And as much as, like, me and my dad don't talk too much these days, you know what I mean? Like, we don't really see eye to eye. And, like, you know, he's off doing his thing, I'm doing my thing and all that sort of stuff. And I was definitely a black sheep in the family. You know, I've always sort of gone my own way. I moved out of home when I was young and all this sort of stuff. But, like, being a little bit more mature now, I can sort of look back and see how a lot of that sort of early stuff shaped me into being some form of overachiever. Mm-hmm. And the same way as Bitcoin is a complex thing, which we don't really understand how it's gotten to today. Like, we can all speculate on, oh, it was the decentralization, it was this, it was that, but it was fucking everything. Like, life and human beings have those same sort of journeys, right? We have all of these things that sort of impact us along the way, and, you know, it molds us into being particular types of character. And you know, my character has evolved into one of being a kind of a never settle guy. And I was in the podcast yesterday with Brady from Citizen Bitcoin and Guy Swan. I was sort of saying, I have all of the experiences in my life have led me to this thing called Bitcoin, which just fits like a fucking glove. Like, I cannot, like, when people ask me if you build up Amber into a $1 billion company and get bought by Coinbase, I was like, fuck you, I ain't selling a Coinbase.
You heard it here first, freaks.
Yeah, it's like, I ain't fucking taking no money from them. But I said, even if we exit, I said, they're like, what are you going to do? I was like, well, start another Bitcoin business.
Bitcoin.
Like, yeah, that's it. I found what I'm going to do. I'm not going to do something else. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not doing this so that tomorrow I can go and fucking, I don't know, like, retire.
Yeah.
Or if I retire, I'll be writing these fucking things.
That's a good pivot. Let's talk about your anti shitcoin
Bitcoin times.
I feel like in general, and you've made it a mission of yours in Australia to combat the crypto people, the blockchain people, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was combating the crypto people in 2017, and then in 2018 it was combating the blockchain people, and in 2019 it's...
Look at me. I'm Bitcoin.
Yeah, that's right. Finally, I have some significance. After being booed off stage for the last few years, being like, you know, I remember the first time I gave a talk. It was in November of, it wasn't the first time I gave a talk, but it was the first time I really got on stage in front of a decent audience, and I bashed the shit out of altcoins. And it was in November, like right when shit was going nuts. And I'm like, you know,
November 2017.
Yeah, 2017. Yeah, exactly. And the guy who got up before me, do you guys ever heard of one called Santiment or some shit like that? They were trying to build like the Bloomberg.
That.
Yeah. Bloomberg of fucking crypto.
Yes,
yeah,
I do
that's
remember.
Right.
So
yeah.
The ICO'd.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. And this dickhead gets up before me and he's like, he's a university professor and, you know, there's three people on the team and they raised like, you know, $10 million in 30 minutes. And I'm listening to this guy. I'm like, what the fuck? So I got up and I bashed the shit out of, you know, everything that they were saying. And I remember at the end of it was like,
quiet stares.
Yeah, exactly. I walked off the stage. I was like, fucking hell. And I just like slowly went to the back of the room, packed my shit up and got the fuck out of there before I got bashed or something. And I was like, fucking hell, man, this is my career ain't gonna go anywhere like this. And it was a rough start, but you know, I just kept at it.
Let's
write articles.
One thing that lacks in the overarching quote unquote crypto landscape is principle, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I think. That's what this week's so beautiful too. It's like we were talking earlier, like Bitcoiners stay around, and like here these last 2 days, like it's just been a huge conversation with everybody that you've conversed with online, and
dude,
everybody seems very principled here.
It's almost like an extended family, as sort of gay as that sounds, but it's like it's weird. And you know, you meet people on Twitter and stuff like that, and you sort of talk back and forth, and then you meet them in real life. It's like, I remember when I was first talking to you the other day, I was like, I feel like I'm listening to a podcast. Like, it feels really
that's
weird.
That's what Stefan said to me when I met him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Stefan, that's how I fucking feel.
It's like two podcasts on play.
And then there was like a guy standing next to us. He's like, you don't even know how I feel right now.
And then Marty rocks up.
That's the weirdest thing, is like people walking up to you be like, I just I just know who you are from your voice. I'm like, whoa. Yeah. He's like, I hear you in my head like three times a week. It's like, ugh.
I'm excited for the deep fakes when, you know, me and Marty are endorsing all this crap.
Yeah,
all fake.
There's plenty of material online to deep fake for us.
Yeah, the podcasters will be the first. And talking about podcasts, you have a great podcast too in Australia.
It's something that I started with this dude who wanted to start interviewing shitcoiners, and then I sort of was like, fuck it, I'm going to just continue with Amber. So, whenever I get a chance, I'll do a podcast with
somebody. The way I got intro to you was because you did one with Murad.
Murad, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. All right.
What's the name of your podcast again?
Decentralized Podcast.
Podcast. So we've got not decentralized at all.
Not at all. No, no, no.
It's
exactly.
Extremely centralized around me.
Well, the idea was that we were going to let anybody do a podcast. That was sort of why we called it that. And we were going to like let anyone do shit. And then, you know, all the requests we got were people want to fucking interview, you know, Walton Chain or this. Right. I was like,
When I first listened to your pod, I feel like I was more comfortable with it because I listened to every Stefan Lavera podcast. So just like a Bitcoiner that has an Aussie accent is like more comfortable for me.
Yeah. Really?
I love the Aussie accent.
Really?
Very pleasant on the ears.
I feel like it's really awkward. Like I was, who's the chick who's doing the...
Naomi Brockwell?
Yeah. So I've never heard of her before anyway. So like I was talking to some dude earlier and she was standing next to me and she starts talking. I'm like, you sound fucking weird. And she's like, so do you. And I was like, where are you from? She's like, I'm from Perth. And I was like, I don't like the Australian accent. I think it's disgusting. But anyway.
Why?
I don't know. It just sounds so like, I don't know.
I never even noticed she had an Australian accent. I was just...
Mine's not too
like
Australian.
The Naomi accent. Yeah, you're like a lighter Stefan.
Yeah.
That's why it was nice and comfortable for me.
What country in Europe did your family come from?
Macedonia.
Macedonia, okay.
Yeah, so Eastern Europe. So like basically a history of war, and a little bit more war. It's like everyone there is just fucking fiery. All we do is fight people. It's but...
Yeah, I had a buddy who was Macedonian in school, and
lunatics.
He just hated everyone.
Yeah, the fucking lunatics. We're angry.
Especially the Greeks.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah, that's it. We're always going to war with the fucking Greeks.
And the Albanians. He didn't really like the Albanians.
Well, I'll tell you what the Albanians are like, and this is going to probably get me a lot of hate. Fucking hell, here we go. It's like...
Apologies.
They came into the country, they took over, and it's like, this is our country now. It's
like, we walked past like an Albanian in the Bronx. This is like 10 years ago or something. And he just like mutters something under his breath, like my buddy. And I was like, what was that about? He's like, an Albanian stabbed my dad 35 years ago. And he was like a cop in Macedonia. And Bill doesn't
really.
It's like passed down from generation to generation.
Yeah. Literally. Macedonians are known for holding on to shit. So we'll hold on to like, it's like we had a fight with some fucking village 3,000 years ago. It's like, those pieces of shit killed my great fucking grandfather. But how much time do we have so we can...
I think we got 5 minutes left.
Okay, so I'll finish the thing that I was saying before about finding, you know, what I'm passionate about, and then we'll hit Bitcoin times and then we'll fucking finish up. Cool?
Sounds good.
Yeah, so finding Bitcoin for me and never settling, the thing that I said to... That's what I was going to say. The thing that I said to Guy and Brady yesterday was, you know, when I'm building Amber as a business, I feel so confident in what we're doing, even if other people are doing similar businesses. Like, there's a couple shitcoin projects. Like, there's this one called... Fuck them. They're called Bamboo. And they did an ICO. And now, like, they've ripped off all that shit off their website, pretending like they never did an ICO. And they're doing a roundup app into crypto. And, you know, they've got their Bamboo token, which is supposed to, you know... pay for fees on whatever like way they've tried to like jam it in there and try to like make it make sense, like
tokenomics.
Yeah, exactly, right? And then, you know, they've tried to take their white paper down off the internet, all this shit. And like, so I don't care who I compete with, whether it's Coinbase or whether it's shitcoiners like that. Like, I have found what I'm doing, and I'm not here for the money, and I will work in this thing for free. You don't have to fucking pay me. Like, I'm okay financially now. And, you know, I mean, I lost all my Bitcoin on a boating accident, but it's still, you know...
As we all do.
Yeah, we all did. But
I feel like Bitcoiners need to take boating lessons. Like,
yeah, I know. Fuck yeah. Anyway. So... finding what it is that you want to do for the rest of your life is like... It's an empowering feeling. And I feel like people who have come to Bitcoin, there's just such a... broad sense of that in this industry. You don't, you rarely find that, because I've been across like multiple industries. I did solar. I've done general tech, payroll tech, recruitment tech, like all sorts of different things. And you don't find people who are so fervently like passionate or give a fuck about what they want to do. Like we've got a whole fucking cottage industry of podcasts, man.
Right.
Like show me like the 50 podcasts that are built around how to hire people better. Like, you know, that doesn't exist. Right. So like this is such a special.
Really shitty if they do exist.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. They got like 3 listeners. So this is different, man. So that's one thing. And that sort of ties back into why, you know, when I get a chance, I do these side projects. So I really want to do something with Bitcoin Time. So, you know, if people want to hear the full story of that, they can listen to Brady or Guy Swan's podcast from yesterday. And I sort of talk about the story about why I wrote that. But I was presenting at this blockchain conference, and they wanted me to get up and talk about, you know, how we're as a company using blockchain. And I was like, but we're not. And they're like, well, what are you doing then? And I was like, well, we're helping people buy Bitcoin. And they're like, well, isn't that on the blockchain? I was like, no. So I was like, look, I'll tell people how we're not using the blockchain and how we're doing it different. And they're like, oh, that's interesting. Okay, come and talk about that. So, and I got up and I didn't tell them what the title of the fucking talk was going to be. I did tell them, but they asked me to tone it down. And then when I got up, I was like, the organizer asked me to call it how Lightning is delivering on what blockchain promised. I said, well, here's the real name of the talk. It's blockchain is dead. The future is on Lightning. And the organizer in the back just sort of went white. He was like, fuck, he's done it to us again. So like that whole talk, when I sat down to write my talk, it turned into this fucking 15,000 word like manifesto, which I've turned into this Bitcoin Times thing, which is just a siren call to people to say, here's what blockchain has promised. It delivers none of that shit outside of the context of Bitcoin. In fact, Bitcoin is not even a blockchain, it's a time chain, but you know, let's save that for something else. And then I've just sort of driven home the idea of, you know, the promise of immutability, the promise of digital scarcity, which is sort of the two key things. Like immutability is this idea that you can go forward in time and you can't go back. And that's what we've actually got in the real world. And this is why I think Bitcoin's so profound, is that in the real world, like you do something, you can't just reverse time. Like you've done it.
That'd be great though.
It would be great, but that would mean we live in a shitcoin world.
That's true.
And
well,
it'd
be cool if I could just, if no one else could, but just me.
Well, you're not Vitalik, so it's all right. So, moving along. but see, Bitcoin has given us a digital version of something that moves forward without going back. And that has never fucking existed before. So we've managed to apply the concept of time in a digital sense by anchoring it to energy, which is the only thing in the universe that we can't replicate, duplicate, forge, or anything like that. And so it's taken the two most important concepts of, you know, without sounding fucking foo-foo here, like I'm one of those personal development guys, but it's taken two most important elements in the universe, energy and time, and transformed them into something that we can use for a commons via which we can cooperate. And that's profound.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. And I love that explanation of it. That's what, I've said this before as well. Like, I just view Bitcoin, like, when you're trying to visualize it, I close my eyes, I view it as like a pillar of light that goes up into the air. It's like in the town center, the virtual town center.
Yep.
Anybody can anchor information into that.
Yeah.
And it's just everybody can access it. And,
correct.
Like you said, like the combination of time and energy is, people don't grasp the gravity of
time is money.
Time is money. I mean, go
that
listen.
Saying goes back for however, I don't, a long fucking time.
Yeah. No, go listen to Nasir Mamadov podcast that we recorded earlier if you haven't listened to it yet. Like, he really drove that point home.
Yeah.
And for even being a Bitcoin for as long as I have, that conversation with Nasir in particular was like, oh shit, I haven't like said it this clearly ever or heard it said this clearly. Couple parting notes before we end here. We got to wrap up. I love what you're doing with the product, and I love your mindset. Like what you're saying, like, I don't care what Coinbase is doing. I don't care what the other shitcoin apps are doing. And it reminded me of one of my favorite quotes that really sort of drives what I do at the Benton here at TFTC, is like the Dr. Dre, Jimmy Iovine documentary from HBO, the documentary series from HBO a couple years ago. There's one line in particular that Jimmy Iovine said, like that he, the mentality that he had when they were producing records and stuff, and it's just like, I'm a racehorse with blinders on. You're not even looking at the people next to you. You're just getting your shit done. You have your vision, and you're just working on that, and don't focus on anything else. And I think you're personifying that with Amber and, thanks, and what you're doing with Bitcoin Times.
Thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for coming and joining us.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I was so glad I actually came up for this. It was like last minute.
It's fucking awesome. Yeah, originally you weren't going to.
Yeah, and then here I am. Fucking. Yeah.
It's been a pleasure to finally meet you in person.
Absolutely.
I think it's so cool how Bitcoiners, we like just have soldiers around the world just fighting the good fight.
So if you're an Australian soldier looking to stack sats, download the Amber app.
Thank you, bro.
Check out Bitcoin Times. Alex, thank you for coming in, bro.
Thank you, boys. Appreciate it.
Stay humble, stack sats.
Peace and love.
Ciao.